Today we have a passage from Matthew chapter 5. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, one of the Lord's longest teachings in Scripture. And of course, St. Matthew, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is especially writing to a Jewish convert to Christianity. So you see how Matthew always emphasizes Jesus' teachings, that he's come to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies, that he's not come to abolish them, he's come to fulfill them. He has come to fulfill the law and the prophets, and he's come to fulfill all of the Old Testament prophecies about him. And I've seen some books written by some very good Christian authors that go through every passage of the Old Testament and show how Jesus fulfills it in the New Testament. Let's just take a few examples. Of course, we have Genesis 3:15, where God says to Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and they shall crush thy head, the seed of the woman, and the woman herself would crush the head of the serpent." This, of course, is fulfilled by Christ, the new Adam, and Mary, the new Eve. So we see that Jesus fulfills this prophecy that there would be the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent. We also know in Isaiah that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Now, what's so amazing about that is that it wouldn't just be a virgin that would give birth, but the woman would remain a virgin. That was the great miracle, that a virgin would actually be able to give birth. And Jesus fulfills that prophecy because he is born of Our Lady, who was able to give birth to Christ and remain a virgin as well. Then we have Jesus as the new Moses, just as the old Moses led the people through the desert to the promised land. So Jesus is the new Moses. He leads us to the promised land of heaven. We know that Jesus is the new Noah. In the Old Testament, Noah had to gather the people onto the ark, and he gathered his family, gathered the animals onto the ark, and they were saved from the flood. Well, Jesus came to be the new Noah, to save us, that all of us who are part of God's ark, part of his covenant people, who become Christians and members of his church. See, we belong to the bark of St. Peter, but we're on the ark that Jesus has established, his church. We know that Jesus is the new Passover lamb. The old Passover lamb had to be a male lamb, perfectly unblemished, that was offered in sacrifice. Jesus is the Lamb of God, so pure, so innocent, so holy. And he then was led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He was the innocent lamb that died for us. Just as the lamb was slain to save the firstborn, so Jesus dies to save us. And his blood is sprinkled on us through baptism and through confession, through the sacraments, and the angel of death passes over us because of the blood of Christ. So Jesus fulfills that again, that Old Testament image of the blood of the Lamb that saved the chosen people. Jesus, the Lamb of God, saves us from our sins. The Old Testament said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. We know that during the census, they had to go to Bethlehem, and Jesus was born there. We also know that at the time of his birth, there would be wailing and lamentations over the death of many innocent people. And this happened with King Herod killing the innocent children. We have that image of the Old Testament of Rachel weeping for her children, but they are no more. And that was fulfilled through the terrible slaughter of the innocents by King Herod. Then we also know that wise men would come to visit the Messiah. Dromedaries and camels would come from the east and offer him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This too was fulfilled in the life of Christ. And then you have the saying in the Old Testament that he would be called a Nazarene, that the Lord would go back to Nazareth and be raised in Nazareth. So the Lord fulfills all of these things that we see in the Old Testament, even his death. The Old Testament prophesied that he would be killed between thieves, and that they would cast dice for his garments, and that he would be mocked and crucified There's so many hints of this in the Old Testament. Just read Psalm 22 and you'll see the death of the Lord, and that he would be placed in a borrowed grave, and that we know that the Lord would raise him up. And so again, I would just say that this particular passage that we have is so rich. Jesus says, I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. That every aspect of the law, every prophecy, the Lord would fulfill. And the last point he makes here is that if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then teach others about the Lord. See, notice there's going to be different degrees in the kingdom of God. Not everybody is at the same level. The Blessed Mother, of course, is the greatest in the kingdom of God, then probably Saint Joseph and John the Baptist. But it says there are going to be some that are going to be least in the kingdom of God, but there are going to be some that are going to be great in the kingdom of God. Isn't that interesting? We don't always think about that. That those who evangelize and spread the faith, the great teachers, I'm sure like a John Paul II or Pope Benedict, people like that, Jesus says, will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever breaks the commandments, even the least of the commandments, and teaches others to break the commandments, Jesus says, will be least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So if we're smart, we'll spend our life teaching the faith, teaching others about God, evangelizing, helping to save souls, teaching CCD, doing the Lord's work. Because Jesus says, if we teach the commandments, which you do to your children, to your grandchildren, then Jesus says, you will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.